Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
We are starting a new initiative here at Every Nation Brisbane, where we're going to be honoring the Volunteer of the Month. Ooh. So, you want to come, Jordan? Okay. We are going to call this award in honor of our founding pastor, Ken and Renee Du. We're going to call this the Du Award, and in honor of Rebecca Du. So this is the Du Award, and because it's our inaugural Du Award, I'm going to call up, as the recipient of the first ever Du Award, a couple. Kim and David Carson. David, come on. We're going to come up with a theme song for this moment, because right now it's awkward. You are the first recipients of the Du Award. Before we have the Du Award, we want to say thank you for your service. I mean, we'll get an opportunity to thank you again, but I really wanted to thank you for being exemplary volunteers. I've never seen volunteers like these two. I mean, who flies to another country to volunteer in another church? Twice! Not just once, but they fly their whole family over here.
More than twice.
More than twice?
Yeah, they have China.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about, I'm being greedy. It's getting into They've done it in China in Guangzhou, and now they've done it here twice, helping to establish the church with Pastor Kid, and then transition the church with Pastor Kid to Tina and I in the leadership. And I can't imagine what this transition would have been like had it not been for you two putting your hands up and saying, we volunteer to serve however you would have us serve. And you know, Dave oversees our operations and has overseen our operations. And Kim has been really instrumental in helping us with our finances with Len and the rest of our team with us always. And so we're really thankful for, how many of you are thankful for being here? Yeah. Really thankful also for your kids. I can't imagine what life would be like for Nazareth if it wasn't for Hannah and Jordan if it wasn't for Jonathan. You know, they're wrestling partners on my trampoline. So I'm really, really thankful for the causes, and we'll forever keep them in our prayers. Mm. It's not over. Is that you, Lord? So what I need you to do, we're going to pray for the causes, and this is also my introduction for Dave to come and share the word today as we continue our series called Outlaster. So if you are with me, just put your hands out and let's just pray for this wonderful couple. Father, I thank you so much for the causes. What a gift they are. Firstly, to Tina and myself, and then secondly, to this whole spiritual family. And we will never forget the deposit and the example that the causes are of just sowing their lives for the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, your word promises us that as we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, all things will be added unto us. And I pray, Lord, for the all things anointing to be added unto David. Lord, all things with regards to finances, all things with regards to their children, all things with regards to their marriage, all things with regards to the promises that you put in their hearts. Lord, we stand in agreement. When two or three agree on anything in your name, shall be done. We thank you for the causes. We thank you that he who began the good work in them will be faithful to complete it till the day of your coming. We thank you for the causes in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
One more massive round of applause. Without further ado, your preacher for today, Dave Cobb.
I just want to thank Pastor Billy and Tina and my mother and father for this award. Did you see Tina's shoes today?
Yeah.
Amazed, they're beautiful, right?
Did you see
your
shoes?
Did you see my shoes? The story behind that today. My daughter, my wife's daughter, she was helping to get my clothes, take them to the van, And she forgot my socks. So luckily I had something to wear. And also she put my shirt in her bucket that she has. It's all, if you notice, it's all crinkly. Who was it who said? Elika said it was ghetto. But Jonathan, my friend over here, said it was on trend, so I don't believe it. So, yeah, I also got prayer. I don't know if you saw that. I got prayer. I was suffering this whole week from the man flu. So if I'm coughing, spluttering on you, it's because of that, okay? And we know that can be really deadly. It's up, right up there with Ebola. But I've survived that, so just stay way back. I won't go back a little further, possibly. It's up to you. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about... Oh, actually, I've got a clicker. I've got to get the old clicker. Today we're going to be talking about tithes and offerings. Now, we can also say this is, you know, giving to God or whatever you want to call it, but this is what we're going to be talking about today. And without further ado, we'll get into it. I'm going to paint a bit of a picture to you, give you a bit of a scenario that will help you to kind of understand what tithes and offerings really is about. Because for some people, I think it's just giving to God. It's just a little bit more than that. So I want to paint a little picture for you. So we're going to start off over here. Right over here. It's going to reach that part. Okay. This over here, this part, this wall over here represents, if you can imagine, Egypt. All right, so the Israelites, they were in slavery and bondage to the Egyptians for hundreds and hundreds of years. All right, so they're over here. Now, Egypt itself represents many different things. It represents the kingdom of Satan, it represents sin, bondage, those kinds of things. Now, the Israelites were in bondage for hundreds of years. Now, God raised up a deliverer named Moses. Now, so they started off over here, and they went towards the Promised Land, which is around about where Mike is. Want to be like Mike over there. That's the Promised Land over there. So they set off on their journey towards the Promised Land over there. Right? But they got a bit distracted from different things. And they were always complaining. They would say things like, "Moses! Why did you bring us here? It would have been better for us to live as slaves in Egypt and to die here in the desert." And they'll say that like many times, over and over again, the same kind of things. Complaining. And eventually, after 40 years, they got over to where Mike is over here, to the Promised Land. Now, it should have just taken them just a few weeks, right? But because of their complaining and everything like that, it just took them 40 years. And that's just crazy. Now, once they got into the Promised Land, again, that represents something. That is like the kingdom of God, right? That is righteousness and holiness and everything like that. So we have the kingdom of Satan and we have the kingdom of God. Those are two. And that almost represents the journey that we go on to become Christians, right? You can imagine that. And when they came to the Promised Land, there were 12 tribes, and they split up the land into the different parcels of land to the 12 tribes. One of the tribes missed out, and that was the Levites. I don't have to feel too sorry for them. Everyone else got their inheritance, but they were to get a tenth of everything that the land produced. Alright, so here's the picture. Right, everyone's got their piece of land. I can feel it. You can hear how many. Everyone's got their piece of land. And so what would happen was that they would get the seed, right? The Israelites would get the seed, put it on the land, they'll let it grow. Then when, just as the first bits of harvest were coming in, they would take that as the first fruits, they'd give it to the priests as like a deposit to guarantee what was to come. Right? And then when the full harvest was brought in, they would give a tenth of a whole harvest to the temple, and that would be given to the priests as their inheritance. And then the priests would give their tenth as well. So that's kind of the picture. You see how it happened? God takes us on a journey, and he takes us into the Promised Land here, and this is a system that he sent up, Right? The kingdom has rules, has a certain system. This is what he set up. So we can see that the Israelites had got that system there, which they would give that tenth. So what I'm proposing to you today, we're going to look at the Bible to see if I'm not just, you know, just talking, is that the tithes are like a rent you owe. Okay, so they were given their bit of land there, and it was like they were renting it, or they were paying tax, I keep changing, I don't know, whatever, rent or tax, whatever. They would have to give that to the priest. It's like a rent that you owe. That's what the tithe was. It's the rent for the land, basically. Anything that was produced in the land. And here, offerings are like a seed you sow. Now, offerings in the Old Testament are a little bit different, but I want you to think that the offering is like that seed, right? That seed that they planted, and at the end, they would have a great harvest. The little seed that was planted became multiple of that seed and the fruit that it was. Okay, so that's it. Okay, so we're going to go and have a look at offerings, first of all. And we're going to have a look at the offerings in the New Testament. Now, I'm kind of doing this a bit backwards, but, I like to do things differently. Okay, let's have a look at Philippians 4:18-19, talking about the offering. The gifts you send, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. See, here it's saying it's the offering that you send, it's an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So it's talking about the gifts that they were, the monetary gifts that they were giving to the church. If we look at 2 Corinthians, it says here, what is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. And there's not lots and lots of verses about offering in the New Testament, but here's just a couple here with the word offering that we can see. But here's where I want to camp for a little while. 2 Corinthians 9:6-11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, this kind of encapsulates the real offering. There's a lot of stuff in there. We're not going to have time to really go into it. But look here, it says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. This is talking about gifts that they were giving, monetary gifts that they were giving. Alright, so he's saying that whoever, again, sows, like sowing seed sparingly will also reap sparingly. Right, if you only sow a little bit, you're only getting a little bit back. Each of you should give them what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly. You've got to give it as God sees, as God wants. And he's got to, and have a look here. And God is able to bless you abundantly in all things, in all times. Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And next one, he will supply and increase the store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Okay, this is all about sowing and reaping, isn't it? Sowing and reaping. Sow the seed. And then eventually you'll see the fruit of that seed. Now, I've got a little bag of tricks here. I just happened to... Excuse me. Oh, okay, here we go. A little Coles bag. I actually bought some seeds. So, I hope they're not poisonous. Don't go looking. So here's a little seed, right? So this is the example of the seed. So if I'm a farmer, I can decide, as like, I want to keep the seed. Because, hey, that's costing me money, right? Seed just doesn't grow on trees. Okay, it doesn't. Seed is that's a lot of money, so I can decide to keep it. What's going to happen? Nothing. I'm not going to get any harvest whatsoever. This is going to be nothing. But if I decide it costs me a lot of money, I'm going to do four seeds. What's going to happen? Well, you may get a bit of a harvest there, but it's not going to be very big, right? Because it's only a few seeds. But if I decide to go like this, just go to town on the center, there's a lot more likelihood that they're going to take it, and it's going to become, you know, as they should, into something bigger. Okay, so not all seed is going to take, right? So for example, we've got Helios over here that we all love. Now, Helios, because I just want to tell you something, that when we're talking about seed time and harvest, or sowing and reaping, it covers every area of your life. I don't know if you realize that. Not just financial, it's everything. So for example, you know, like Helios here, he's thirsty, you know, he's parched, even though he's already drunk a Coca-Cola.
That
he's
been mine.
It's not yours. We're even more thirsty, mate. He's desperate for water right there. Now I might decide, I can see that he's desperate for water. I'm going to give him a toothbrush. But Ava, it's not just any toothbrush, it's an apple toothbrush. So, you know, it's probably, 2 years behind the current events. And also, double the price and all that kind of stuff. But hey, it looks good, right? It looks good. And I decided to give this really fancy toothbrush. How is he going to take that? It's like, well, I need water, I'm going to die, you know. But it's not going to be like something he's going to feel like he needs to give me anything, because it's totally useless. Who wants an apple?
Well, I can die with clean teeth.
Okay, whatever.
If I
gave him some water and I saved his life, then he would feel compelled, almost obliged to at some point down the track to give me something back. That's reciprocating what I've given him. So sometimes if we sow in the wrong place or given the wrong place, it's not going to come back to us. You know? We have to think that like everything is covered by this law of sowing and reaping. You know, it's like we can take again a seed thought, and it becomes an imagination, which then becomes a desire, and then becomes an action.
That's right.
It covers every single area of our life. And today we're talking more about money. So let's have a look at the offerings of the Old Testament. Going backwards and forwards and backwards a little bit. Anyway, first mention of it's a little bit different in the Old Testament, and some people say it's very, very different. Let's just have a look. First mention of offering of man giving to God, not God giving to man, is of Cain and Abel, and we have Abel there. He gives his first lamb or whatever it was to God. Best appearance, and then we have Cain, and he gets some fruit and vegetables, which he just looked like he picked up on the side of the road, and then chucked in some, whatever. And because he wasn't given his best, he just almost copied his brother or something like that. God didn't accept that sacrifice. Second mention of offering is Noah and the animals. After they just came out of the ark, they had the burnt offering of these different animals. We're speeding through these because we don't have a lot of time, but I'm just going to show you different offerings, the first, second, and third. And then we have Abraham and his son offering his son. I don't suggest you do this one. But he was going to give his son. But God then provided a ram that was a substitute for that. We know that this points a lot to what Jesus did on the cross. Now, if we look at all those offerings there, even though it looks very, very different from what we're talking about, if we go right back to Genesis 1, I'm not going to show you the verse there, but it talks about all these things coming from land. All these things coming from the earth. So you see the man's coming, it's created from the earth. You see that the animals and everything was created from the earth. The first thing that God created actually was plants, the seed. Did you know that? It's the first thing he created. So all these things could be considered seed of Abraham or the son. It's the sentence that's in the seed. Let's have a look here at the... So what I'm proposing to you is that an offering is this. Old Testament, New Testament, it's the same thing. Offerings were a sacrifice of seed to God. Okay, I don't know if you can really see that. Here's some of the Old Testament sacrifices. And we look at the bottom here, we can see that these two here, mandatory for atonement for sin. These animals had to be killed, sacrificed because of the things that we had done all wrong. And these two were basically covered by Jesus. Now, we don't have to do this every year, thankfully. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to actually do this anymore because it's all covered by what Jesus did on the cross. And these other ones here, they were a voluntary act of worship. So again, they were done at different periods of time, but they weren't mandatory. These ones you had to do, otherwise you weren't saved. You couldn't go to heaven, right? These ones, the other ones here, were voluntary. Okay, so what I'm again proposing to you is that, hey, these things are covered by Jesus, the mandatory ones. But some of these ones we should do out of an act of a voluntary act of worship is offering. Okay, before we go into fires, again with when I first became a Christian, I was giving to God, and I wasn't earning any money. Yeah, it's like a lot of you here with university students, right? I wasn't earning any money, but I decided that I would give, and it wasn't a lot of money, but it was, for me, you know, not earning money, it was, you know, but I didn't, it wasn't something that like, oh man, this is so hard. It was something I desired to give. We looked at that verse previously that I offered to the New Testament, said, be cheerful about that, you know, be a cheerful giver, something that you want to do. So, you know, I was giving this, and I thought it was that I was giving the tithe. I had no idea, you know, tithe and offerings, and it's the same thing, right? I thought I was giving tithe, but I really believe now when I look at it, it was like me giving seed. It was like me giving seed. And I can just look at so many different times in my life where many, many years after, I've seen God come through just in miraculous ways. 12th hour. Why does God always seem to do it on the 12th hour? I don't know why. But you know, God, I've just seen it so many times in my life, and I believe that it was like sowing seed. All right, let's look at, there's just one more thing I wanted to share. It's like, remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? There was, the disciples came up to Jesus and had this brilliant plan, right? It's like, Jesus, these people are hungry. I think you should, we disciples think you should send them away so they can get some food. And Jesus said to them, you feed them. And they're like, it would take a year's wages to feed all these people. This little boy, he comes up to the disciples and he goes,
excuse me. My mum gave me this lunch. Do you think it would help?
Oh, someone's like, can't you see we're working here? You know, right. Jesus said to them, disciples, he said to the disciples, what have you got? And then the disciple goes, hey, can we? Oh, Jesus. Oh, he got out of a couple of bits of bread and some fish. And Jesus said, that's enough. Right? He took the bread, broke and prayed, and gave to the disciples, and all the 5,000 were fed on that, just that little boy's lunch. You know. It'd be interesting to think about if that boy didn't have lunch that day. What would have happened? I don't know. God can provide, but you know, it's like that lunch was seed for the feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah.
You know, it was seed for that. You know, it says that of Jesus that there were some places that he went where he couldn't do any miracles. Why? Because there wasn't any faith. What's faith like? It's like a seed. So, you know, if we want to see God bless us, if we want to see God's blessing in our lives, then we have to give him something. Have to give him something to work with. Why do people say, oh, God, come bless me? It's like, well, how are you, what seed are you giving to bless you with, to have that? And also the thing with seed is that it might not happen straight away. Right? The harvest doesn't necessarily come straight away. Obviously the 5,000 did, but not necessarily. Not necessarily. Tithes, okay, let's go into tithes. What is tithe? Deuteronomy 14:22, you shall truly tithe all the increase of the seed that the field brings forth year by year. Okay, so see how it ties in here? We've got the seed that has been sown, the harvest comes in, the increase of that seed, a tenth of that will go to the Lord. Tithe here means tenth. Leviticus 27:30. All the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. See how it's about the land, right? Anything that was on the land, the animals, or the fruit of the land, it was of the Lord. All that passes under a rod, a tenth of it shall be holy to the Lord. So we have, you know, let's imagine a row of sheep there, and we're gonna count it off. Now, some people say that, you know, a tithe is always the first tenth. But actually, if you read the Bible, it's actually talking about it's the tenth after the count. So if we're going to look at it, like, you know, technically, it would be like count of one. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. 10 to the Lord, right? But if we look at it in an actual sense, it'd be like this. Bam, 1 to the Lord, first fruits. The first one would go to the Lord, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 to the Lord, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, like that. So that's how it would work. It would be the first fruits would go to the Lord, and then the 10 after that. So where was the tithe paid to? Numbers 18:24. The tithes of the sons of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said to them, among the sons of Israel they shall have no inheritance. The priests had no land inheritance, but would receive the tithe as inheritance. So, again, well, it's just what we said before, you know, the land was split up, and the inheritance of the Levites was the tithe, wasn't the land, but anyone else. Okay, let's look at the tithes in the Old Testament, so we're going to do it the right way around this time. First mention of the tithe. And there's something called the law of first mention. Okay, so when something is mentioned the first time, well, take notice of it. It's a sense of precedent of how it should go after that. Genesis chapter 14, 18 to 20. Abraham has just come out, he's just won this war, and he's got the spoils of war there. And then there's this guy, this strange guy called Melchizedek, comes out to meet him. Now he is a king and a priest, king of Salem, and a priest. It's very unusual to be a king and priest. Some people say that it is incarnation of Jesus at that time, but he is Salem, we believe, is actually Jerusalem, so he could be a real figure. So anyway, he comes out and he to get the tenth. Now Abraham didn't have to think. What should I do? This guy's coming here. What do I do? Because this was part of the custom. You're on someone else's piece of land. You're in someone else's kingdom. You pay the tenth. That's, if we have a look here, 1 Samuel 8:15, it says here the kings, they will take the tenth. That was just part of the custom. So Abraham didn't have to. But it's like, okay, here's the tenth. Oh, okay, here's the tenth. Because he realized that he was a nomad. The patriarchs called nomads, and someone else's piece of land. That guy was a king, so he had to pay them the tenth. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 15, right after this event with this Melchizedek guy, God says something interesting to Abraham. He says to him, I am your shield, your very great reward. And I happen to have my little bad tricks. I happen to have a shield. You may laugh. It's just rubbish with lead, and I would say, so what? So what? I mean, what is a shield used for? What do you? That's why you play tennis with. No, unless you're like, you know, the Captain America. A shield is used for what? For protection. Now, I mean, I could be just reading something into this verse, right? I mean, because it's, you know, it's after that, but it's just a, no, you know, it's rubbish. but let's have a look at the next mention of the tithe in the Old Testament. Second mention of the tithe, or the tenth, is in Genesis chapter 8. Jacob's just had a wrestle with this angel, and Jacob says that if God protects him, he will pay the tenth. So if you get some time, have a look at that. Jacob says that if God protects him, he will pay the tenth. Isn't that what we just talked about? A shield is like protection. Maybe there's something here. But let's look further. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Okay. Will a mere mortal rob God? You rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? And tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me, this says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. Let's look at just some of the parts here. God says, how will we rob you in tithes and offerings? So we're grouping this together, right? Tithes and offerings, okay. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Okay, number 10. bring the whole tithe in the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Again, that's the purpose of it, for the provision in the house of God. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. This is the only time that God says test me, and it's in relation to the tithe. Okay? And the ratio of the tithe, not the offerings, the tithe. Because we know the offerings is like seed and harvest, seed time and harvest is the Lord, it happens, you know, whether it's in God's kingdom or not, whether it's good or bad. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. What's that? Isn't that increased, right?
Yeah.
I've got it wrong, didn't I? I was saying that seed is increased, right, and tithe is protection. I've got it wrong. Okay. Let's just read a little bit further there. 11. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. What's that? I will prevent pests from devouring their crops. So you've got a field here with, you know, your crops there, and the pests that can come in here, and it protects it. What's that protection? Right from devouring the crops. And your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. A storm comes in, and it's going to shake the trees so that the fruit falls off, but the storm passes by. You know what I'm saying? Protection. So what's going on here? It's the same kind of two things, increase in protection. Here's how you read it. Okay, you can tell me if this is wrong. If you're an English major, I'm not. Here's how you read it. It's that indirectly, you will be blessed. You will have increase if you tithe. Right? Indirectly, this is what's going to happen to you. Indirectly, I will see if I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. But directly, this is what happens. I will protect your crops so that you will receive increase. Right? See, because it's all tied together. Tithes, offerings, rent, seed, it's all tied together. But first of all, you've got to understand that the tithe has to happen, the rent has to happen, for that increase. The protection has to happen for there to be the increase. Alright? That's what we're going to do. So what is the tithe? What we're talking about before, tithe is a 10% of your increase, which is paid to God. The purpose, it's a rent or a tax, it's a contribution to God's work. And the benefit is protection of what you have.
No.
Okay, so that was the Old Testament. Now this is, because tithing can be, not necessarily offerings as much, tithing can be quite controversial. I don't know if you've gone online and actually look up tithing. A few people say, you know, tithing is not the New Testament, And they've got some valid points. And let's have a look at what the New Testament says. There's not a lot of things in the New Testament about tithing, but let's have a look. Luke 11:42. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. For you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and pass over judgment on the love of God. You ought to have done these and not left the other undone. So this seems like it's a negative thing, right? But let's look at actually what Jesus is saying. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. For you tithe these things. You tithe rue, mint, and herb, and pass over the judgment. He said you ought to have not left these undone. What? Not left tithing undone. Right? So he's not saying you shouldn't not now tithe. He's saying you should tithe. But you should also not pass over the judgment of the Lord of God. So he's actually saying that it's something that should happen. And when we look at tithes and offerings, they could have been, because we're talking about the land, right? And we obviously don't have land, we don't have fruit and stuff like that. We get all those things could be substituted for money. Because, you know, just imagine taking a big cow on your shoulders, you know, trying to take them to the temple or take them to church. Now here's the cow. Good luck. Look, you can substitute for money. Yeah. Easy to carry. Okay, so, and Jesus, you know, has been at this time, he paid the temple tax, and he also would have paid the tithe as, you know, he was a carpenter, he earned money. He would have paid that as part of being a Jew. 1 Corinthians 9:13-14. Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. So, although it doesn't talk about offering here, or ties. This is, if you look at it, it's the same thing that was happening in the Old Testament tithe, which was going towards the priests so that they can do their work. That's what it's saying here. The same way, the contribution should be given so that the priests, like Pastor Nelly, Rasheen, others can do their work. It's the people who are paid ministers. So those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. If offerings are voluntary and just come in whenever, how are they going to receive their living? Tithes are something that you know is going to come in every time there's a house. In Hebrews 7, you have to read that, there's a lot there. You haven't got much time. So anyway, remember that guy Melchizedek? Yeah. Now, this verse here is talking about the superiority of Jesus' priesthood to that of the Levitical priesthood. Right? And he's saying that Jesus' priesthood is just like Melchizedek. Now, Abraham gave to Melchizedek about 400 years before the law came in, where they were giving that example of the land here. It was about 500 years before that came to pass. Now, it's saying that Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek is greater than the priesthood of Levi, because it's something that's an enduring priesthood, something that's eternal. Alright, so this is not saying necessarily get away with tithing. If you look at this verse, it talks about tithing. But it's saying that Jesus' priesthood is like Melchizedek and it's eternal. Now, some will argue that, Abraham only gave him a tithe once. But remember, we're talking about an eternal priesthood. Jesus is part of that. Melchizedek was, for Jesus' purpose, is just a man who lived and died. Jesus is someone who's eternal. So I don't know if you can get much from that from the New Testament. There's not a lot in the New Testament that says stuff about tithing. But I want to give you an example of something that happened in our lives, me and my wife, that this has really got me started on really looking into tithes and offerings. I had no idea. I just thought it was giving to God, giving money, whatever, And it was one day where a few things just happened. It was like, my wife is a bread maker. She had this bread maker where she made our bread, and this is how we lived. We had some other things as well, but it broke, our bread maker broke. And this is, it's heartbreaking. We had bread maker break, we had a pram break, we had some other things just break, I can't remember exactly all the things that I'm missing something. But the final thing was that we're driving in Avondale. First, Avondale. We're driving up in Avondale, Auckland, New Zealand one day, and then the car just and I don't know if you've had that happen to you, it's like blew up. Some band is like, what is happening? All these things are breaking. This is crazy. It's like a band, break. It's like, look at my wife and say, did you pay the time? And she's going, maybe we're a little bit behind. She didn't previously. We don't pay this time. And so it was like, we didn't pay the tithe and we didn't have that many things. We've had this a few times. There's a time just even last year where we had these two computers, not necessarily great computers, but they both kind of kaputted at the same time. Just like, nothing. Come on. And luckily, of course, you have an internet phone. And so I said, Kim, you pay that. He's like, okay, I'm going to go. I said, okay, she pays the tithe. Bang, as soon as that money went through, the money went through, one of the computers came back on. So, again, from experience, I would say that the whole protection thing, it just seems weird, but it's like, part of this, from experience, it works. And then, from what the Bible says, it's like, protection. It's like, I just happen to have in my room. Thanks, Lord. So, the rain's coming down, the storm's there, you've got You've got protection right from the rain. But you haven't got this stuff. But if something happens where, you know, the wind goes like that, all of a sudden, you've got the full force of the rain in your face. And so what's happened, you know, is it's just that so it's kind of tilted like that. I believe it's kind of like that. That protection, hey, we are protected. You know, God, there is protection over us. God does promise us, if we paying the tithe, that there will be that extra kind of that protection there. I can't kind of tilt like that. Now, I'm not saying that this is a hard and fast. You know, like I say, there are rules within a kingdom. This has nothing to do with salvation. It's not like how you don't pay your money. don't get that way. We're suggesting that it's like it's kind of like a something that God has set out as a guidelines for you. So if you can understand this, right? If you want to see God's blessing in your life, then these things kind of like a necessity that you take on. You know, of course, you know, see kind of how that happens. The tithe is a mysterious one, but from from experience, seems to be like that. You know, it's like kind of this protection. Now, we don't want to push you and say you have to do this. It's, you know, under the law. You know, we're under grace, not under the law. It's nothing to do with salvation, but it's to do with God's blessing in your life. And we want to see blessed.
It's great.
We're going to look at the tithe. The tithes are like a rent you owe, and my friends are like a seed you sow.
Yeah.
All right. So see how it works together.
Yeah.
Rent is like. Benefit to you of tithing is protection. Benefit to you of offering is increase. Alright, let's look at it works together. You know, you've got a phone plan, you know, and you don't pay your phone bill, what's going to happen? Huh? You don't get the benefit, right? There's certain rules, you know, that works well, guidelines that work really well in God's kingdom. You know, certain rules in Satan's kingdom as well, which is pretty much do whatever you want, but in God's kingdom, there's certain rules outline, you know, like if you do this, yeah, you're going to see the benefit. The benefit for you for paying tithes is protection. The benefit for you for paying offerings is increase. Now, it's 30, 60, 100 times what was sown, and we see that in the real world, but just imagine this, you know, in God's kingdom, if you're giving into God's kingdom, it's of eternity. Things that we give in this world is of, this world stays in this world, it's temporary, it's, you know, fade away, but if we give into God's kingdom, it's of eternal value. So just imagine increase in God's kingdom. Not just increase now, but it's of eternal value. So, anyway, so that's what we're talking about today. So we're going to get ushers now and just going to take out the tithes and offerings. So hopefully you've got something from that. Again, it's not a, you have to do this, otherwise you're, you know, out the door and down there. It's nothing to do with salvation at all. Here's some guidelines that God has set out in the Old Testament, predating the Old Testament, that would show you that this is for your benefit. Lord, we just thank you for just showing us, Lord, your word, Lord God. And we are not in a time of where we have to do something under law, and we have to offer these things every year, otherwise we're dead. Lord, you have provided a way, provide us salvation through what you've done on the cross of Jesus. Thankful for that, Lord God, that we can be saved through what you've done. Lord, all those thousands of years ago, Jesus, fix us now. Just love so much. We thank you, Lord, that you've set our guidelines, sisters, that we can look to paying the tithe 10% of the increase that we have, of the monetary increase that we have, so that we can do what you've called us to do, God. And Lord, that we can give offerings time and time, Lord, as you lead us, so that we can be blessed to be a blessing, Lord God. So we can see increase in our lives and the lives of others, Lord God. We just thank you so much that you're as a kingdom, Lord. You're as a kingdom of increase, Lord. Let us just be a part of that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so just a she's going to bring around and offer the glasses down. And again, so, you know, we're talking about the land there. You know, we don't have, obviously, cows and stuff like that we bring. But, you get an increase, you get a salary. So our suggestion is that you give 10% of that to the Lord. And then when the Lord leads you, that you would give offerings. Offering is, again, different from the tithe. And it can be for specific things that you can give an offering. Like we saw, there's many different kinds of offerings. There's the first fruit offerings, which you're talking about. There's other kinds of offerings there that you can give, right? Again, as the Lord leads you. But just remember that sometimes you just think, if you already sow a little bit, nothing. You won't reap nothing. If you sow generously, you will get a generous harvest.
Hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.